Hey, everybody. On this show, we discuss the recent crash to sub $2,000 for Ethereum, some analysis of what's going on in the crypto markets, Luna essentially going to zero, the UST situation, and the NFT market cratering alongside crypto. We talk about what buys Nifty Nick has recently made in the NFT art game, and we talk about other side, Yuga Labs land play, and the trailer that was released yesterday showcasing some of the gameplay in the game itself. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or on your mobile app with the code TheNifty. Hope you enjoy the show. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Whoa, what a morning it is. Ethereum crashing. Bloody crypto markets, NFT market, bloody. Oh my God, what is going on? This is the NFT Morning Show. We do this Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm P.O. I'm here with my co-hosts, Nifty Nick and Signal and Easy. Nick, what do you make of this morning?
I renamed the space to NFT Morning Alpha. You need to get it right. Mourning the losses. I'm mourning a massive loss that I took last night, which was an emotional trade that lost me 10 grand. And
It was bad. What'd you do?
I saw it. So there was the Bored Ape announcement or the Other Side announcement, which was really an announcement of stuff that we were already aware of, but done in a very high production way. And so I saw the Coda's run. I raced in, but I bought the literal top of the run-up and then was just like, there was the liquidity just ended instantly. Like, I've never seen a pump that short-lived. And then I was just like, I got to race to get the fuck out of here because I did, like, I don't believe, like, I've been bearish. I still have a bearish position.
But you wanted a Coda. You sold your Coda.
I wanted a Coda, and I thought that that was that I'd missed the opportunity. I've now moved most of basically any liquid that I have is in GUSD at this point, and just sitting on the in the savings area. So like, I even if I wanted to buy something now at that price, it's just not possible. This is the end for me. I'm now waiting. I have too much. My NFT bags are still too sizable. So me expanding was just a bad move. And I was sitting there saying, what the hell am I doing? As soon as I made the trade and then just raced to get out of there and took a 4 ETH haircut.
Well, needless to say, I'm really glad I wasn't hanging out with you while that happened, because that sounds like my least favorite thing.
I was actively talking to him. It was a ton of fun.
Were you really? Oh, thank you, Easy, for taking that off my plate. Okay. So for people that don't know, Nick, you got a mutant Coda from the claim, right? So you got a free mutant Coda.
Yeah, I sold it for 33.
That first night you sold it for 33, which now in hindsight was a brilliant move. That was the literal top, right? I also got a mutant Coda. Would have been nice to sell it for $100,000 that first night and cash out, but hey, whatever. And so your target was what, 15 ETH for Codas on this in this bear market? Is that right?
Well, it was. I actually now am more bearish. I'm adjusting a lot of my numbers downward, but that was my target. And basically last night when there were ones sitting there down at 16, I was like, oh my God, this is about to trigger a run. I saw a message pop up on my laptop while I was eating in front of my laptop, and I was sitting there saying, okay, this is about to be a run. Unfortunately, the run, like by the time I made that trade, it was over. And I was racing into it at the top. My thought was, I don't know, maybe this does trigger one more run here. This market, no way. It just could not tolerate it. ETH had actually run up during my trade, so I feel like I may have even lost a little less due to the timing, just by sheer luck. Regardless, it was not a good move, and I moved everything else, or I basically moved everything over. I think I have max 2 ETH right now. Like, literally, that's all that I have.
But that's not new for you, because a lot of times you're not necessarily holding a big bag of ETH. It's like GUSD and NFTs. I want to get into some of your new price predictions in a little bit. But first, I want to throw to Signal, because this week, Kix is at the Crypto Raiders retreat. While everybody else is upset and crying because of the blood in the streets, CEO of Crypto Raiders and co-founder of the Nifty, go figure, Captain Kix, is off literally riding boats. I don't even know what you call it, not water skiing, like tubing on the back of the boat with a bunch of guys and then playing Magic the Gathering. They're just having a great time down there while we work over here. So thanks so much, Kix, for coming and fulfilling your weatherly duties. Signal, are you able to pick up the slack for our lazy co-founder?
Not only will I pick up the slack, honestly, when I woke up this morning and I saw the Tether news, I'm a big film buff. I love films. And my initial thought was, this is the bit in the film where the soldier goes, "Sir, we're at DEFCON 5. And then the general goes, "Call the president." Like, that was literally how I felt. I mean, we are heading straight to Goblin Town. Overnight volume is down to 75 million from 130 million. We got Apes sitting at 87 and Mutants sitting at 18. Over the past 24 hours, those deeds, they have done the highest 24-hour volume after Yuga released that short sneak peek of the Voyager's journey, shot up to 3 ETH, and it's pulled back down to 2.8. Azuki had the highest second volume overnight. That floor is choppy. We have WEETH offers coming in at 6 ETH and being accepted, Beans bouncing around 1 ETH, but that floor is just cuddling 10 ETH, bouncing between 9 and 10, hasn't gone down really. Onto the large caps, Clonex and Doodles continue to slide closer to single digit numbers, whilst Moonbirds are doing incredibly well on holding a 20 ETH floor. But broadly, floors are down. We're starting to see larger crystallized losses on rarer items. The Trippy Fur Ape, which would usually sell at a minimum of 3x the floor, sold for a $1.1 million loss. That was a big loss to the previous buyer. But where there is clouds, there is also sunshine. The Discord led by Swine Flu and Popcorn went absolutely ham minting burbs. I didn't even know what a burb was until this morning, but Gremplin did change his PFP, and it's probably a sign that we are in the last hurrah. last hurrah for a little bit, not forever. Crypto markets, we are sub 30 on BTC, we are sub 2K on ETH, and ApeCoin is around $6. This volume, as Nick has said, this volume has been bait and switch. We are down across the board. Azuki brought a lot of noise into the volume, but basically I think we're going to be going back down to 50 million pretty quickly. Until we see some stability in cryptos, don't expect the NFT markets to be loud. We're going into a quiet period, and the 24-hour forecast is stay indoors. Back to you, folks.
Thanks for the weather report, as always, Signal. So the burbs, I'd say 60%, 70%
of burbs.
Our Discord, our Discord has adopted the burbs as their profile picture. I did not know that Gremplin, I'm looking, Gremplin did change his profile picture to a burb. That's a big deal. I have one because the Discord made me do it. I think I saw Nick tweet that he has one.
I got
too.
One this morning, and it was definitely a direct path to losses. And
is
I was
it
like,
though?
Me and Mike yeah, most five definitely. Of them each last night, and just started giving them out to people in the Discord. Like, if you did not have a burb PFP, we were just giving them away. Like, it's a movement. We're gonna floor our portals and make burbs go up. It's pretty simple.
Well, I like it. I like the burbs being the sort of adopted profile picture of our Discord, of the Nifty Portal community.
Which is good, because we're not making one anymore based on the current market. So enjoy your burbs, everybody. You know, that's a gift from us to you.
Even though we didn't make them or have anything to do with it. In fact, us minting them, we went kicking and screaming. So look, there actually is like a lot of different stuff to talk about today. I want to talk to Easy about how he's playing this market, because Easy is a proper trader. He is a trader's trader. And I'm assuming he's going to be shorting stuff. He's going to be longing stuff. I don't know what the hell he's going to be doing. I want to hear Nifty Nick's price predictions that are going to be accurate, but that he's not going to actually trade on. And Spencer always has something really smart to say and has his hand raised. So I want to hear from Spencer. Node has had a hell of a week with the Azuki drama. And obviously we got to get a little check-in with Vicky. Spencer, what's on your mind, man? You work at a fund. What do you make of what's going on right now?
So I have a couple of stuff I wanted to share about. I mean, I think, again, at our fund, like we had prepared for this scenario, and we've been for a few months sitting like largely in stables. We have a bunch of other products that we hold that we're betting on. But really, since December, we've been looking at this, and I hate to say it, but it still doesn't feel like the bottom, either on the NFT market or on the ETH market. And I think what we've seen, though, too, is like people don't realize how far down the NFT market is right now in US dollar terms. Like, you might look and you say, okay, mutants are down to 20 or 19 ETH or whatever it is, but ETH is also down like 30%. To 40% on top of that. And I think people are a little bit in denial about how far we've fallen off the top if you price NFTs in US dollar terms. So there's that. I also wanted to share, last night was the CloneX party in New York, which was the first time that CloneX has hosted an in-person event. And I think that's a pretty big deal actually for the space. It was with Takashi Murakami who was there. It was hosted. The beginning part was hosted at a really prestigious gallery in New York. And importantly, this is their first party, their first big event since getting acquired by Nike. It was really hopping. They had silhouettes of some of their shoes out. I left that event with a similar feeling to having left the Azuki event in LA, where I was inspired with confidence in their ability to pull off really good events. Everyone who was kind of... A lot of the bigger people in the New York scene were there. Steve Aoki was there. All types of people.
I wasn't there. Don't worry about that though.
You should have come.
I feel like you, Nick. Someone probably invited you, right?
Legitimately no, but I did see people there, and I was aware of the event going down, but I didn't go. So don't worry about me. You know.
But Floron clones. It was interesting to see. Is down significantly. I think a lot of holders may have been holding through that event, and then perhaps there wasn't as much news. Although, from what I was hearing yesterday, the alpha is that there was $50 million around in sales at the physicals at the gallery. We're not talking NFTs.
Holy
but
shit.
The gallery had the ability to buy. People don't realize Takashi Murakami is a really, really blue chip like artist. And so they were selling physicals of his NFTs at the gallery. I think the flowers started at 100K per canvas if you wanted them. And I think the clones may have been higher. The word on the street was the flowers sold out immediately and the clones have yet to sell out. They also had a merchandise shop with things like plushies and others, which flew off the shelves. It was a madhouse, absolute every man for himself kind of situation. But I'm... have renewed focus on this team. I remain long and have always been long CloneX and Artifact, because when you look who's going to for sure build through a bear market, there's no question in my mind that Nike will deliver on all its promises, if and more. And I think companies that are publicly traded like Nike are well positioned. I mean, I'm looking at Adidas NFTs to make a really strong movement through the bear market. Although the argument of I just don't want to sit in any NFTs right now is very fair.
Yeah. I mean, look, so I've been becoming more and more, you know, convinced that CloneX is a proper blue chip. And you brought up Nike. I think that Nike is a good name to bring up because Nike has mastered cultural relevance, you know, for the most part. Obviously, there are ebbs and flows of that. But the thing I trust more is the CloneX squad, you know, the Artifact squad that got acquired by Nike, because they've been building in the space since what, like 2018, maybe even before that. Right now, the floor on CloneX is $23,000. I don't know, Nick, do you have a target on that? Like, if we continue down to Goblin Town here, you could see a $15,000 floor on CloneX.
Zero. It's all going to zero. That's my target price. I don't track CloneX. I'm not it's not a subset that I'm interested in. That said, I like the perspective on art. I bought a piece last night. I bought my second Damien Hirst.
How much?
3.5 ETH. And basically burned it so that I could get the physical. I wanted one NFT and one physical. So it's been sitting at this floor. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens after the burn is done. And I think June is the end of it. But yeah, I don't know. I wanted one of those. And so, but after that, I mean, I'm not really buying anything at this point. So that was sort of my last hurrah in this space. $100,000 at a gallery is a pretty baller ass move, which just is more further validation for me. There's a lot of people that made a lot of money during this run up. And so there's going to be a lot of powder ready to buy whenever this market turns. That said, I mean, the unfortunate thing is this market is not just going to turn on a whim or turn on a dime here.
Yeah. Importantly, the $100,000, like, I don't really think that was NFT people buying it. I think that was traditional art people. And if you, in the line yesterday, it shocked me how many people had flown in from Japan for the event. That was absolutely nuts. It was a really large number because Takashi is a huge, huge, huge artist in Japan. Mm-hmm. But what was really cool to see was that it was an onboarding moment for the traditional art world into NFTs, because there were a lot of NFT people there. And I think for many people who were coming from the gallery world, it was their first exposure. And that's really exciting to see.
Oh, it's definitely exciting. And long term, I've been talking about this. You need the traditional art world to gradually get properly onboarded, you know, especially for the art side of NFTs. I love Nick's buy for the Hearst. I understand that it was literally to burn for the physical, which, I mean, look, let's call a spade a spade. Nick, that's kind of like a big baller move, right? You buy the NFT, you burn it immediately just for the physical. It's actually a big baller move.
But it's a discount to what the physicals are actually selling at. That said, if you go to Artsy to look at the price of art, they do charge a premium for most of their stuff. So it's like versus like an eBay or something like that. But what I would just consider that is a trust sort of a trust premium, because if you buy from Artsy, it's far less likely to be a scam. Which is your biggest concern if you're buying a legitimate piece of art. So there's a lot of Damien Hirst pieces on there. And I think the currency right now, if you're going to buy the actual physical, is like on there at least $12,000. So you're buying it at a discount. And frankly, I view it as a historical piece in the sense that this is Damien Hirst's first NFT project. I think it'll be, I don't know. I think that purchase will actually farewell,
yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, so I don't think it was a bad buy by any means, and it's something that I've just been looking at over and over and over and over again. And there's limited time, and if the market's an absolute bloodbath, and this is the price that it's at, then I'm, you know, this is what you got to pay.
You're making me want to buy one, because what it is it's a proper fine art play by an artist that is both from the traditional art world, but at this point also like quote unquote NFT native. I like it a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes down lower, but scooping it at this price, I like the move, Nick. I think that was great. I think that, you know, especially in a bear market, like fine art plays that you're intending on holding for a long time are absolutely fantastic. We talked about it a little bit in the past couple weeks on this show.
NFT but- art though, I don't know about that. Like this is, Spencer was just saying, you got the problem, which is that
the traditional art world,
the traditional art world does not experience the same level of volatility. And instead, when the market goes down 50%, I think historically the art market has gone down like 9% or something like that. And so it's been much, it's way less volatile. But you look at the NFT art market, liquidity dries up and prices drop by 80%.
Is that the problem or the solution?
I like what Spencer's saying. The other thing is you have to keep in mind that the technology here enables us to trade these things, you know, in a way that you just wouldn't be able to trade a traditional piece of art. You kind of could, right? You kind of could, but the whole shipping factor, the verification process, all of that is a totally different story. But I personally, my belief is that it's an inevitability. It's inevitable that the traditional art world will eventually be fully onboarded to the NFT world. A lot of people probably think that that's like a pipe dream, but I don't know. Like when I look at the long term, I just know that technology gobbles up everything. already we've seen the traditional auction houses like Sotheby's and Christie's, you know, basically have like full adoption plays on NFT artwork. Obviously, every single individual participant from the traditional art world is not even close to being onboarded, and it's going to take a while because legacy industries, especially that one, are, you know, notoriously slow when it comes to getting onboarded to new bleeding edge technology. But it will happen. It's just going to take a while. And I mean, anyone that listens to this show knows that I try to keep a really, you know, the opposite of short-sighted. Like I like to think really long-term, and I think it's an inevitability. That doesn't mean that this Damien Hirst isn't going to drop down to $5,000, you know, in this quote-unquote bear market that we're in, if it is a prolonged bear market. You know, I got Node on stage. Node's been through a lot this week with Azuki. He was an Azuki holder. You still came out in the black with Azuki. You ended up selling for, I think, a 2 or 3X overall profit. How are you maneuvering now, man? And do you have a Damien Hirst? I'd be very surprised if you don't have a Damien Hirst.
You know, I do not have a Damien Hirst.
Wow.
I actually, you know, as we know, Pia really loves your art collection, apparently your NFT collection. So yesterday, Pio compliments me on Twitter. Thank you, bro. Love you.
Multiple times on the show, and then on Twitter. It's just like
Nick's response is, get a room. You know, it's like this jealousy factor. And I like you too, Nick. In fact, Nick, you and I are more similar than you think. I don't drink. I don't do dairy either, dude. We can be friends.
Like, lactose intolerant totally buddies.
You guys have the same genetic defects. Very nice. Okay.
Very true. Yeah. But I honestly, like, I didn't, when Damien Hirst stuff came out, it's like, if I'm being honest, I had no idea, like, what was going on. The one issue for me with the Damien Hirst collection was that, and I've seen this with a couple artists, was that, you know, one piece is indistinguishable from another if you're not paying super close attention, right? And so that, the supply dynamic was concerning to me in the beginning, and the fact that, you know, they look similar. It kind of reminds me of, there's another project called The Chosen Ones by Seek One. And like, it's a bunch of graffiti. He's a great artist, but a lot of them look the same and there was oversupply. So that was my only concern, was that they didn't all kind of give you that uniqueness. But yeah, maybe I will.
You know, my dots are different than your dots. Trust me. Like, just,
that's
like,
true.
Look,
yeah.
Look,
it's exactly. So right. They are different, and we do like that. But as a whole, it's like, if you line them all up, you know, they're indistinguishable unless you pay attention. So I actually do. I love art. Debatable. Yes. Yes. But I do like the art side of things, and I think it's inevitable. If you look at most of the biggest sales in the NFT space, it's all been art. And if you look at, you know, I've mentioned this before, but like institutions, and as soon as that chasm is crossed, I think art's going to be in a good spot. So, in terms of maneuvering and positioning, I'm sitting on my hands doing nothing right now. That's exactly what I'm doing. Everything's bad. I just looked at Luna. The price of Luna is, am I right? Is it 2 cents? Like, that is
2.88.
2.8. Holy shit! Are you serious?
That's like literally zero, yes. You guys.
If you going had under
million
zero.
Dollars in Luna a week ago, like, you have like $1,000 right now.
Wasn't it $7 in the past 3 or 4 days?
It had a short squeeze when Duquan tweeted yesterday to like 7.5 and just liquidated anyone who was net short at like $2. Day before that, it did the same thing at like 12. And then last night, this thing just got absolutely slammed. Like, it's just dead.
And yeah, like, because what's happening again is, in order to restore the peg, they have to print more Luna. So it's like an
infinity. Well, every time you sell UST, you get 100 Luna, regardless of what the price is. So with more UST unlocking from the Anchor protocol over the next, like, now 36 hours, Luna's going to trade like 0.0005 probably.
Oh my God. Are you like shorting actual, it easy?
No, I stopped touching it under 1, because now it's like the order books are all messed up. It's just like hedge funds and big money pushing it around to run shorts under $1. Like, we've seen it pump to $2 a few times in like a single 5-minute candle. It's not worth it.
So are you buying sub 1 penny?
I'm looking for an entry around 0.0000.6942.
I do want to dig in with Easy. Like, this is Easy's time to shine. Easy's ready to make money in any market. He's like a trader's trader. He comes from trading traditional markets. You were shorting Luna. You were shorting UST.
The amount of respect that POs are articulating for Easy right now, which let's recall how this whole show started. was this show back in last September started with us hopping on stage, and I believe me at least promptly losing $30,000. Easy recommending Deep Sea Jelly, which I
it was a strong recommendation from Easy for Deep Sea Jellies.
These are some of the most phallic looking, ugly cartoons that I've seen. Like, even you can get away with some phallic cartoons. These you can't. Like, you want to hide them from your profile photo or from your profile on OpenSea. So, okay, back over to you, Easy, who's a trader's trader.
but in all seriousness, Easy, what are you doing right now? Are you, like, opening positions? Like, what? How are you playing this market?
I'm like, I was texting Nick last night trying to talk him off of a bridge after his Coda moves, actively telling him, what are you doing? This is a terrible decision. Please seek help. You're in trouble. And then he finally sold it. But no, I'm long ETH slightly. I think we're going to retest 2000. I've been saying 1860 was kind of like the range I was looking at for relief bounce. I don't think we're at the bottom completely, but we have so much support around here, whether it's Bitcoin at 28. Sol's even at like a all-time support at the moment after its previous breakout right around that 44 mark. So I'm mostly cash at the moment, just waiting to see if we break lower or higher, and then I'll adjust accordingly. But like, I'm not holding basically any NFTs besides VFriends going into VCon, some smaller stuff that I overpaid for, like a three lander that I'm just like, I'm not going to cut it because they have some real life stuff going on. Token wise though, we're in this like chop zone. So we could even chop around here for the next couple weeks. That would be probably the least surprising thing if we traded like 1,800 to 21 before finding a range either upside or downside. But that's – I'm kind of just waiting right now. I think that's the safest move until we figure out what's happening macro size.
Did you sell your Flag Monkey?
No. So that's the only Sol NFT I'm still holding.
And did you sell any of your Lyrical Lemonade cartons?
No, I bought another one.
So you have two?
Yeah, and I want them to get under 1.5 because I have like 4 or 5 ETH sitting that I want to buy more. I think they may even be just under 1.5, but if they can touch that one area, I wouldn't be mad to get up to like 5 cartons, to be honest. I mean, we saw it pump to 5 already, and them holding over 1 in this kind of market with a low supply and people desperate for liquidity, I'm relatively bullish. So
yeah, if it gets to 1, I'd probably back up the Brinks truck to some capacity too. I like the idea.
The Brinks truck and then buy 1. So that's why he drove an entire truck to buy 1 NFT.
Back up the Brinks truck to fund the ATM for me to then withdraw the cash to purchase 1.
Yeah, just withdraw like a nominal amount of cash and buy 1. No, I'd buy like a couple more, I think. I'd like to get to 2, 3, 4. I like the idea of having a decent percentage of the supply since there's only 500. And obviously that team's incredibly cool. Cole Bennett, shout out to him, big time music video director. Looking forward to potentially hanging out with that team at VCon and NFT NYC. Hopefully they'll come to our event at NFT NYC. June 21st, ladies and gentlemen, we rented out Mr. Purple. Hope that we see you there. So I guess how low do we think that Ethereum can go here? Like, do we think
$600?
You really think that?
Like, if you want to talk how low, yeah, absolutely. Like, we could see 1,200 to 800 on like the worst case scenario, yeah. Of my opinion.
Those are worst case. You can't. It's impossible to predict. You can just see, you just watch the levels. And if we go below, we basically just overnight hit some key levels for ETH. You would definitely hope for at least a temporary bounce. I agree with ETH of a month long, short rally here would not be, too ludicrous, but it's difficult with the way that all this macro stuff is happening, and a lot of people are – there's just a lot of, bad tailwinds here, which are going to pull things down. And, ultimately it's impossible to predict, but at a minimum, I like Easy's trade up here. We have to retest the same level again that we just hit last night, somewhere in this range. I don't know what the candles are looking like, so I could give a more definitive number. But yeah, if it goes below this, I mean, look out below. You got Bitcoin headed towards 20,000 level is a potential next stop if we can pierce through here. Each of these levels gets stronger and stronger the lower that we go. And there's still a lot of people who are on the sidelines that have cash that are ready to jump back in whenever that happens. But the problem is, it's like, are we going to see a massive bounce back? Maybe, but I feel like the odds are pretty low just because of what's going on here. One last comment on that, which is, what's been insane seeing is not only ETH dropping, but the sort of refrain that existed at the beginning of last year, especially among sort of, I would say, like the CryptoPunk community, was this sort of concept that NFTs increase in ETH value as ETH drops. And now this has been a very volatile time. And so historically, when you see severe downsides, both drop correspondingly. But you would hope, if we see a sideways market, that some of these NFTs give a little bit of a sign of life here and get some floors moving.
I think that'll happen as long as everything isn't crashing. The problem is when everything is crashing, right? And that's what's happening right now. Like, I think Tesla stock was at $720 yesterday, right? So it's like when everything's crashing, it's tough for NFTs to be bouncing up. But if there's optimism in the other markets and, ETH is trading sideways, even at a really low price, can't you think that there will be some wins in the NFT market?
I do. I also think the UST situation finally seeming like it's getting sorted out with Luna now in the absolute gutter. I think that's actually kind of relatively helpful. I think that's
we're
forwarding
this down to zero.
We knew it was going to zero. Now that it's actually at zero, I think that downward pressure is only going to remain on Luna for the short term. Which, if we chop here, that's good for NFTs. NFTs do very well that we've seen in choppy markets, just for whatever reason.
In situations like that, nobody wants to deploy any capital into the NFT space. You don't want to. And then wins start popping up and you're like, oh shit, people are making money in NFTs right now. And then you deploy capital and you get wrecked because you came in after the wins came in. So, just get ready for that. Get ready to get wrecked in this market when that happens. I just brought Mo Money, stayliquid.eth, on stage. Full-time crypto trader. Mo, you've been a crypto trader for a couple of years now. I'd say he's a trader's trader for sure if you're a full-time crypto trader. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick is offended that I'm considering Easy Eats and Mo Money trader's traders, but not considering Nick a trader's trader.
It's just a funny saying. That's all that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's a funny saying. You're looking at somebody who's doing some of the most degenerate activity possible. I call that gambling. I don't call that trading, but Easy's looking for charts and basically anything. So you can make a chart out of anything. Easy's gonna trade that candle, but
because he's a trader's trader.
But usually traders are trading actual investments. Some of the things that Easy's buying here are literally the worst. It's as bad as rolling dice on a corner right now and being and trying to read into the
I'm also open to that. We're getting six every time. Let's go.
At VCon, whoever wants to play a dice game, me and Easy will be ready to rock. No, Nick, you got jealous when I said that Node was the best NFT investor I know. You're jealous of Easy and Mo Money being traders, traders. Just let go of the jealousy, man. It's all love, man. Just let go of the jealousy. Mo Money, what is going on, man? What do you make of this? Your name is StayLiquid.eth. Are you hella liquid right now?
Yeah, man. I've been liquid for a little while now. I was talking to shout out Ben the other day, and I was telling him ever since I started seeing that monthly bearish divergence, I've been really scaling into alts because it's I know how ugly things can get and how quick ugly things can get. So, but for you guys talking about like how long or how low we could go, I think people aren't really – I don't think people should be really focused on price right now. I think people should be looking at the Bitcoin halving cycles, right? And right now we're about 686 days away from the halving cycle.
Less than 2 years.
Yeah. And usually we don't start bottoming out until around, I would say, maybe like 300 days out. And then we see that real run up leading into the halving. So I think right now people are, you know, obviously people are freaking out because the price is dropping and stuff. But I wouldn't be so concerned with trying to time the bottom or like, you know, trying to get, if we go to 20,000 on Bitcoin, like trying to buy that, because I feel like we have time. Like, I would just right now, you know, if you want to trade, but I'm not really looking to buy anything until like things really calm down to be closer to that 300 days out.
Okay. And do you think that last year's Chinese mining exodus, which had a robust impact on the Bitcoin hash rate, do you think that that makes anything different this time around with this cycle? Because that was such a gnarly event that it kind of pushed things back in a weird way. It impacted kind of the whole ecosystem. Is that factored in when you talk about this at all?
Kind of. But like for me, like I just focus on like if it gets pushed back, it gets pushed back. Like I think that the cycles really stay true to those numbers. Like I did a lot of research on this, and it's almost came down to like the day each time. So that's really, I mean, until it's broken, I'm just following that.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot to think about in this market. You can always dollar cost average down, lower your average cost. Like Mo Money said, he thinks that there's more pain ahead. So we have Witters on stage. Witters is a talented muralist, but also a market participant. I know you trade NFTs, Witters. You own a Nifty portal. You're in our Discord, and I appreciate that. Do you have any thoughts on what's going on? Or are you buying anything right now? Like what's going on in Witters' world?
Witter's world is pretty quiet other than painting. Actually, like in Appalachian folklore, if you see a cardinal, it means prosperity and good luck. And this morning I saw two cardinals. So I'm pretty sure that Burbs is a buy, but so I'm a Burb. But I exited nearly everything other than my favorite projects. Actually, Sky Nikki told the Portal Discord that the Bitcoin volatility was set for a solid 20% decrease. And that was April 27th. So that's when, I don't know, like that's when I'd exited probably everything other than like a handful of projects. But I'm just really loving being in the Nifty portal now. We cope by buying pixelated poultry. So that's what's happening.
Pixelated poultry. I love it. Witters sold everything. Witters ain't holding the bag. But yeah, it is actually really funny. Look, when I see this many people with the Burbs in our Discord, and I mean, normally just that would be something that would be interesting to me. But then Gremlin changing his profile picture, that is kind of gnarly.
Not even Gremlin can hold this market up, man. It's just, you know, we're all just sitting on the sinking ship and, you know, toasting to the end together. I feel like it's a great place. It's a great crew, you know, to go down on the ship with. So I'm pretty excited to spend it with y'all. And, you know, that's the unfortunate, if we're going to be, you know, wearing our Burbs as sort of, I'm not changing my PFP to a Burb. There's no fucking way that that's happening, but I'm just saying, because I've become too elitist, for everybody. But you know, I'll definitely have one, in the corner on the floor, somewhere. And so, it's still there, and you know, I'm one with y'all. Mike and G has changed his PFP to a Burb and is now on stage. Welcome, fellow Burb.
What up, Micah?
Hello, Burb.
What up? Yeah. yeah. So yesterday, I decided that instead of trying to trade things that might hold or gain value, we're going all in on the Burbs.
All right, this is ridiculous.
How many of them did you get, Micah?
I think I ended up minting like 12. But you know,
this man, you quit your job. You don't have like a stable income now, and you minted 12 burbs last night.
Well,
it's fun.
I pretty much dodged all of the pain of yesterday because I had pulled out of a lot of stuff for, you know, having quit my job. So I was feeling pretty happy. And then the ETH I had left over, it looked like it was going straight to zero. So I said, you know, if I mint this with Ethereum, it's basically free. So when I minted 12 burbs, I also was like, but this Ethereum might mean something to other people. So I felt bad having other people buy burbs because they are probably going to zero with the rest of the market. but a free burb, then they can't blame me for having pressured them into it. So that's what I was doing yesterday.
Okay. Well, I wish Jonah was with us right now, because the one thing that we haven't talked about yet, which really is basically the biggest story of the past 24 hours, and I actually see Jonah in the crowd, so I invited him to speak, is the other side putting a gameplay video out there. So I'm not much of a gamer myself. I did beat Nick several times in Rocket League. I'm basically a lot better at Rocket League than Nick is. But, you know, apparently people are saying that the other side video game is looking like Fortnite with a Bored Ape in it. And I mean, from what I saw, it looked pretty good. I don't know, like, for them to already have that cranked out.
I mean, they just like probably bought a game or something and reskinned it is the outcome. But before we jump into it, I just pinned to the top my burb, and I feel like I minted a pretty solid one here. It's got that Davy Crockett vibe with sunglasses, and I just feel like, you know, this was a good decision. I lucked out, and I now have one of the best burbs.
Damn, that's
so
a good burb.
If you're in the market for any burbs, look, like, I'm looking to offset last night's losses, and I'll sell this at a discount of 5 ETH.
5 ETH for the burb.
that's what I'm open to selling it for. So anyways, back to the game, and Jonah's on stage. As Pio was saying, Jonah, what is your take on the way that this game looked, and are you surprised or are you underwhelmed?
Nope, they did exactly as I expected. About 2 months ago, I theorized that they wouldn't build one from scratch. They would have to buy something, and I don't know if they bought it, but they reskinned what looks to be an already existing game. At the top, I pinned a little research we did, so you can look at the history of another game that looks almost exactly like this game. And it was one of the first games ever built on Spatial OS, which is Improbable's technology. A game that failed called Worlds Adrift from a company called Bossa Studios. They were in production in 2016. They came out in 2018. And in 2019, they shut their doors because they could not afford the game and their daily active user count was abysmal.
Okay, so what do you think?
So the shitty game, and now we're skinning it, and it's suddenly going to become great. Okay, very excited,
actually, I will say this. If you actually look at the game, it really wasn't shitty. The problem was they were too ambitious, and they had no audience, and Web 2 gamers don't care for games like this yet. So they made it for the wrong market at the wrong time.
What do you mean by Web 2 gamers? Like, what does that even mean?
Web
like,
2 gamers don't give a shit about Bored Apes. They still don't, and
what's a Web 2 gamer? You mean someone because it's not internet gaming. You're talking about people that play console games?
I'm talking about people who play games generally do not
so
care
gamers.
About Web 3 games yet. Yeah, yeah. They don't. This is like the thing is, Worlds Adrift, if you watch the gameplay at all, which, because there's gameplay videos, you can, if you want to understand how this game's going to look, it's very likely, right? We don't have concrete evidence, but we're just inferring here. It's going to be reskinned, but it's going to have the traversal system, probably the exploration system, and other things related to this game. And the only reason I believe that is because of the gameplay trailer they released last night. So, you know, it functions like a social metaverse. It doesn't function like a game.
And, okay.
And I wouldn't even call it a game. I actually think it's something else entirely.
Okay. So my thought is, whenever everybody is saying the same thing, right? It's often like too obvious to have that take and you kind of want to go the other way. Everybody is saying they've never made a game before. Who's going to play this game? People from the traditional gaming world don't care about, you know, playing this type of game. Why would they play this instead of Fortnite or Call of Duty or something? Is it really a good idea to just heavily fade the number one NFT business and, you know, say that they're just going to totally crash and burn? Like, I understand you kind of thinking objectively about this and doing deep analysis with a gaming background, all of that, right? But like, how logical has this space been over the past X number of years, right?
I'm actually not feeding it. I actually think this is a bullish signal, and I have reasons for that. So reason number one is, if you go look at my thread, Worlds Adrift already had a world builder pretty much already baked in. And if they learned, Improbable learned, how to create a world builder already, you're probably getting some bare bones world building out of the box, which means the only thing they really have to do is do a lot of asset making. And that's cumbersome, but that's very doable. The second part is they already have like the game mechanics down. The hardest part about building a game is the fundamental mechanics, not the graphics. You can slap good graphics on anything. That's really not a problem now. The next part is actually, there's a lot you can do with this land on the mechanics side if this is how the traversal system works. And I actually think this traversal system would be very entertaining. The last part is, I don't actually care if this game works as a game. I actually think what they're really trying to do is be the next Steam. And that would be actually doable.
Steam being the video game platform where you can develop
the
a
largest
game
in the world. Yes, they've got over 100 million users a month.
So, and when you say them building Steam, you think like this world becomes the gateway through which you enter those different games?
So it's the one part they haven't talked about, but I know the tech exists. It's still rough, and I think over the next 4 or 5 years, the tech will work itself out. So I will not say this other game because it's my alpha, and I don't feel like sharing that alpha yet. But I know.
Nice,
another,
Jonah.
I know. Yeah, I keep. I always keep a little something for myself, you know. But you know, so there is another game out in the world that actually can do that, and they've raised at least $100 million.
And it starts with F.
No. So
a,
it's B, one that you probably don't know
D,
about.
D.
So
which,
anyway,
which letter does it start with? G.
It's in the alphabet. So you got 20. So anyway, the bottom line is, technically, I like the name of the other side because you could build a game on a land and use the land as a launcher. And then the launcher from the game would automatically open like a subdomain to a game that may run directly on your PC through a launcher. So like, it could work really well as a 3D Steam marketplace. Like, it, that is actually very possible, and with
wow.
every NFT actually having no choice but to build on this, because if they don't, they're all going to zero anyway. They will probably take the market. Actually, the bear market's the best fucking thing that could ever happen to apes. Like, they're so fucking lucky, because in a bear it's gonna be very hard to have competition when you can outspend them for the next year and a half. So every project is going to fall in line to build on here because they want to make sure that they have money. And by the next bull market, what I would do if I were the Ape DAO is I would announce $500 million gaming fund. I would announce their plans to be a launcher. I would announce several games that are not on other side, but you need to access the land to get to this place, which is the other side. And then I would start actually using cloud architecture to make this work across every device. So like, actually you could make this game work if they're on some sort of like Azure or AWS, where the other side just works as an edge computing based game. And then any real game that comes from that launcher would operate on like a native device.
Wow.
So
Jonah,
it sounds like bow down at the feet,
good
at
God.
The feet of us apes. We are I've made no contribution whatsoever to Bored Ape Yacht Club, but I want all of you to know that we are the leaders here And that's why.
By the way, just look at Worlds Adrift. First of all, like, it failed, but it failed because it had no network effects. The game actually looks fucking great. Like, that game looks great. Now, I do have several things that concern me. So
let's run through them quick, just because my head hurts already. Yeah, but yeah,
three things. So the first is the fact that we don't know the relationship that Bossa and this company had, because they don't own Bossa, and that was their game. So I wonder how they actually found a way to reskin this. I mean, I don't know. We have no data on that. I'll skip number two because I forgot it. But the third one that actually is important is server cost. So we don't know the cost of actually running a game like this on Improbable. And if Bossa Studios failed, the reason they failed was money, really. So we don't know where the highest cost for that studio came. And it's possible that might have been server costs. So it doesn't really matter necessarily for the apes, because they've got a lot of money. But the more people you have playing your game, the higher your server cost, especially with 10,000 people in one space. So I will just say, likely what they're going to do here is expect a World of Warcraft subscription model unless you own land. And that's not based off of anything. That's just my assumption.
I could see that. I could totally see that. That's how you Jonah's onboard people from outside.
Most people out here playing checkers. Jonah's playing chess. He's already 8 levels deep on the future of this business, which is going to materialize 3 years from now. You heard it here first. Bored Ape Yacht Club replacing Steam. And what's your target price on apes? $40 million an ape? Like, what are we thinking here, Jonah?
Considering nothing makes sense anymore, the answer is I have no fucking clue.
$1 billion. I am a future billionaire. Thank you for that. That was phenomenal insight provided by Jonah on the
very cool. Very cool stuff. Micah G, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, well, I was just going to add to the points that Jonah was making, because I also saw that trailer and I actually immediately picked up some Mutant Ape Land.
I saw that. You got it for a good price too. Was it sub 4 ETH?
It was like 3.7. It was Mutant Ape, and it had a really rare resource.
Wow.
So my immediate thinking is I really like the path they're going, which is like no one cares about how you make your character running animations and, you know, like the ground floor. If you can copy and paste that from other projects that have done it well, that's an awesome head start. Because I think, like, for the NFT community, we've had so few things deliver anything that we can hang out in and actually enjoy, that even if their first experience is a gathering place, a few gamified things with gathering, and it functions more as like a Discord and a Twitter space, that would be miles ahead of where we are in most other projects. So the fact that they have an SDK and they've put out a lot of information to try to get developers working on that system does also hold some water to Jonah's idea that it's more of a launcher than a game they're going to build for us. So that also makes me excited, right? Is that they're going to let people in and let content come as they're building. So just all that stuff made me realize, like, I do not want to miss out on having that land and that first experience. Because if this just becomes a gathering place in the short term, I think that's still a huge win, right? If they just have some fun stuff you can do, if they've built out the basics of gathering and, you know, resource management, I think it's already the best NFT game out there. And if they can do that quickly because they can copy and paste most of the code, I think that's just something I want to be involved in. I don't know that the price is right. Like, if I was buying this in fiat, would I really pay $10,000? Like maybe not. But as somebody who's in the NFT space, wanting to have that land in case this opens up much quicker than we're expecting, and it's kind of a, hey, here's an awesome start, let's all build it together. I mean, that is something I might hang out in a bear market.
Yeah.
Right? Just wandering through, like, World of Warcraft, you know, hanging out in Stormwind or whatever. Like, I can see that in a way that I actually would want to be involved. So I had to buy at least one piece of land back.
our audience that's on YouTube is historically short-sighted, and they've been absolutely murdering me for basically expressing that I think that the land is probably the best thing to buy as everything goes down. I'm not saying that right now is the bottom. Like, it absolutely could go way lower.
Their analysis runs as deep as the hat that I was wearing yesterday. So that's the thing.
And so the way, if I want to really boil down, like, in the simplest way of thinking about this, boiling it all the way down, it's like, if it turns out that the game works, like, I'm not even saying like good, bad, like if it just works the way that they plan. So in other words, if they execute what their goal is to execute, you're going to want to have the land. If they totally crash and burn, you don't want to have the land. When you look at Bored Ape Yacht Club, you look at Yuga Labs, are you betting that they're going to totally crash and burn? Or are you going to bet that it works, you know, at least the way they want to make it work? That's the way I've been boiling it down. That's the way I'm thinking about it. Maybe I'm out of my mind. I don't know. No, you have your hand raised. What's going on?
Yeah, so, I mean, my take after, you know, if you go to the website and look at the Obelisk page, I mean, my initial reaction was like, this is not anything, you know, anything being done on a small scale or even a large scale. Like, they're going for it all. Like, this is an everything play. Like, I'm reading through some of this stuff, and I'm not a gamer, and so I'm actually a little bit scared to own land because I'm like, I'm gonna have no effing idea what I'm supposed to do with my plot of land. I mean, look, it's saying, okay, you got to come together to explore and plan. And then you guys need to co-write living documents in the codex. And be careful, because there's creatures coming that are from the other side, and you got to decide the future. I'm like, dude, so my question to anybody else is what on earth, like, what are we getting ourselves into by holding the land? And I... like, my question is, can I just sit on it and hold it as a long-term investment, or do I have to, like, actually do something? It's a job. It's a job.
It's not a job.
You signed up for that. You paid. Look, Gary Vee said his intern should pay him a college salary to come work for him, and I think this is a similar thing. Basically, what you signed up for, dude, this is the experience that you're going to get and the knowledge that you're going to get out of spending, you know, $30,000 on a plot of land, and the work that you're going to put in to till that land in order to develop it over time, you're going to need a tractor. I'm here selling you tractors so that you can truly develop it and just pull some plugs of dirt or clumps out of there so that you can drop some seeds and grow some plants. I'm really looking forward to you and making maybe a video of you working on that land for you for months to come.
All right, so here's my thesis real quick. I'm sure that you know, Jonah has something great to say. I want to throw to Jonah in a second, but it's important that you brought that up, Node, because Node, you're a married guy, you have a family, right? They're aware, the Bored Ape Yacht Club founders are aware that a lot of market participants are people with families in their late 30s and 40s. It's just a fact. A lot of the people that deploy capital in this space have kids, you know, have lives. And the idea that those people would play a game doesn't make sense. I think the people that will be playing the game will be the people that have time and are interested in playing games, and they'll be rewarded as a result. Not rewarded with actual land, but you'll probably be able to make money mining the resources or trading the artifacts or blah, blah, blah. And the goal for people that don't have land is going to be to make enough money playing the game to be able to buy land. But the people that already have the land were early enough to either buy the land now or receive the land because they already had a mutant or an ape, and thus those people are going to get rewarded. That's the way I'm thinking about it. When you zoom out and think about what this could be in 5 years, the game RuneScape, which has been popular at this point for like literally 20 years, no exaggeration, like it still gets play 20 years later. If you could have owned land in that, like proper land ownership, you have to think that it would have been a good investment, right? Given the way that game worked and the fact that people sold assets on eBay and blah, blah, blah. It's like the NFTs before NFTs. Jonah, you were going to add something?
Yeah. A couple of things, and I'll make it quick because I know you want to do the next thing or whatever the next thing is. So just so you understand about World of Warcraft subscriptions, if you paid for like 6 months of subscription fees, it's about $75. So yes, the price of land is a lot. I will say, and this is please don't take this as a pump. This is all like crazy speculation. I have no fucking clue. But so Board
Financial
Elon,
advisor Jonah, continue.
Let's go, Jonah. Financial
so,
advice.
Board Elon and I give Board Elon for credit on this thesis, and then I have my own thesis that I'll add next. Like one last thing, is that if they are trying to be the Steam, there may be one reason why they KYC'd, and that is if there are fees, subscription fees to play the game, or some sort of fees in-game about in-game purchases for those who don't buy land but want to play the game, it's possible that there could be a rev share, meaning it's open source Steam. Therefore, if people use like effectively your version of a creator code, like all these lands are just codes. So they could use your creator code to do rev share on subscription, probably paid in APE. So that was
finally, finally we get the security we've all been looking for. Thank you. I'm so excited about that.
Last thing, there is one way, and it's the way that most gamers hate, but there is one way to probably potentially make this work for people, and the odds of them doing this are low but not impossible, and that is build out an ad network that is activated through the game, where you could push ads from big traditional brands who want to get into the metaverse and probably enable your lands to activate these ads through certain like locations on the land, and maybe you could pick and choose where it is, and maybe you get some like very small AdSense. Keep in mind though, all of those things might not be enough to recoup the cost of the land, so I just have to throw that in there as the answer is we don't fucking know, but it's just interesting speculation that we play, and I credit Board Elon for the rep share thesis, and
shout
he said
out to
that
Board Elon.
He said that might be why we KYC'd.
Shout out to Board Elon. He's building a game thing himself, so I wouldn't be surprised if that thesis is correct. We got Not Gonna Make It on stage. NGMI rocking a Moonbird, one of the projects that is holding up strongest in this market. What's going on, Not Gonna Make It?
Hey, Pio. Thanks for having me up. And Jonah, that is super giga brain. I completely agree with everything you've just said. I just want to touch on that and maybe bring it back like to year one of the land rather than year two and three. I do think that the ApeCoin is, you know, we've just touched on that. I do think that is, you know, the main purpose of the game. I think most people understand that the land's going to yield ApeCoin to begin with. Your resources and the rarity of those lands will depend on like how high that yield is. And then on Micah's point about why is this land going to be worth anything, I think if you're yielding ApeCoin and this is going to be the next Steam, and any game that any, you know, real gamer wants to play it, like Web2 gamers, whatever you want to call them, and they have to pay in ApeCoin, and you're yielding that ApeCoin, and your land just keeps getting you that stuff, then yeah, that value's hopefully going to retain, because they dictate the price at that point, and the whole ecosystem functions around that. So yeah, I think for me, the biggest buy right now, one of my theories, is that Bored Ape Kennel Club is going to be a buy, and that they're actually going to function very similar to the Coda. Because there's 10,000 of them right now. You've got 30,000 apes and mutants. And with the mecha dogs, which I believe are coming soon, if the leaked pitch deck is anything to go by, then I think those mecha dogs aren't going to be, you know, like an evolution. They're going to be an extension like the mutants, where there's going to be 10,000 more of those. And then you've got basically some sort of game mechanic that lets you move the mutants, lets you move the apes around. For the whole ecosystem of the first two being the mutants and the apes. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a buy. I think they're only sat at like six right now. And, yeah, I think they're going to function very similar. And the apes and the mutants are just going to be a multiplier on any of that yield that you're going to get for the land.
The dogs are on the roadmap two or three times. The dogs appear on that roadmap more than any other individual asset. Looks like the floor is just under $13,000 for a dog right now. Worst case scenario, full Goblin Town, what do we think it's going to go to? $7,000?
Yeah, I could see it at like hitting a free Ethereum, four Ethereum floor, and then going to bids as well. Like if people are just like, no, that's the least I'm going to sell it for, I can still see bids going lower than that and being accepted.
Well, I'm looking forward to full Goblin Town to get a dog for my mutant. That would definitely be on my shopping list for sure. I just brought Rusty on stage. He's sporting a Bored Ape. He says in his bio that he's Pixel Vault and Bored Ape Yacht Club. Node is also a big-time Pixel Vault holder. I'd love to know your perspective on BAYC, but also perspective on what Pixel Vault is doing, because aren't they also building a game? Actually, Nick raised his hand. Nick, did you want to get a word in?
Well, no, I also wanted to give to Cryptic, who was on stage before, but we can start with Rusty, then to Cryptic, okay. Because Cryptic has, and Stay Liquid is a dead fella, but Cryptic has a fairly elite dead fella here, and I want to find out their sort of perspective on the what appears to be a potentially rough time for the dead fella, you know, floor. But anyways, let's start with Rusty, and then we can go over to Cryptic.
Rusty,
cool GM. Thanks for having me up. Love this talk, Jonah. That was some awesome hypotheses for the other side. Grew up a gamer, grew up playing WoW, so I'm pretty excited about this. I just want to get your take, and I'll talk a little bit more about Pixel Vault too, if you'd like to hear. But I'd like to get your take on this linking your lands. So I'm in that category of married and in my 30s, so I don't have as much time to play games these days. But I did see on the Obelisk website, there's the Codex, and it says, learn how to link your lands and more. So I'm curious if they'll integrate, you know, options to like farm all your lands together and perhaps link them. So, you know, if you have multiple lands, you know, you don't have to spend time, I guess, unless we get those like tractors from NFT Nick and get like the remote tractors, right, and automate it. But, you know, I'm curious on your thought, if you have multiple lands, if Yuga will allow people to just kind of automate, you know, tilling those lands and taking care of it, right? Because there's a lot of big holders that probably have, you know, 20, 30 plots of land. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, first, that there's an assumption that that's a function, which we don't know yet. But if there
it
was
is very clear, I'm the tractor king, so don't even question that, Jonah. This is
it ain't much, but it's honest work.
So, it's honest work.
This is my favorite meme. But
go ahead, Jonah. Real quick though, Jonah, that game that you said was like your alpha that you're keeping to yourself. By any chance, are the initials NG?
No, I'm wondering okay. What that is, but it's not N.
Wow, look at you.
M-I?
I can just say X-O? It starts with an M, and it starts with an M, and I won't say anything more than that. You'll just have to wait.
Oh, look at that.
We got a letter. Right. Look at that.
That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get.
That's the type of deep journalism that we do around here. Remember that, everybody, when you're wondering, like, wow, who the hell are these guys? What sort of journalism do they do? You just saw some of that live on stage, us extracting that real value.
Yeah, so going back to yielding land, I mean, I think Sandbox, you can learn a lot from Sandbox. In terms of a visualizer of like land being amalgamated, I don't know. I wonder, and I'm not a technical dev, right? So, but my assumption would be the hardest thing with games is like optimization and making sure people's PCs don't melt. I mean, new game or new world, which is Amazon, bricked a lot of 3090s, and it made people very, very upset. So I wonder, in this gameplay trailer, it looks like even like RTX is on, because those refractions of light, like that is a lot of graphical power. This, they're using at least a NVIDIA 2080 here. I mean, they have to be. So what I would say, going back to like land,
very obvious to me as well.
Yeah. So the one thing I would say is, if it's physically putting land together, I don't see that working out, because there's already so much on screen that I don't even know how they're not going to drop frame rate already, which is why I think they could work on cloud, because like if you put 10,000 people on your screen, I don't know how the hell they've optimized, because like having that many things happening on your screen would normally drop your frame rate down to like 15 FPS or lower, and then your game would crash, and then you'd be back at like the launcher, because like there's no game out right now that can handle that capacity. If I
we lost them too much, too much technical jargon, the microphone broke.
I had a call there. I did not get executed, although I worry shooters are out for me. But like if I play
one
of my buddies in the chat's like, oh, you're gonna get shooters on you, you're hyping people up. So
What? Me and Nick need to worry about that long before you, man. But anyway, it's go ahead.
Because at your event, you got security, so I'll be at your. I'm gonna be at NFT NYC. So
do we? Who's the security?
Yeah, no, yeah. Any aggressive people? There will be very big, very aggressive bodyguards surrounding us everywhere with weapons. So do not come near that event. Just remember that. We have an army.
I can't wait till someone attacks Nick and I have to hit him with a double leg and with my ruptured Achilles. Got to pop my Achilles again to defend
Nick. You need to sign up for CASA. So in the event that someone passes out, you know, or goes away, you know, that those JPEGs would go to someone. But anyway, when I launch even Halo, if my drivers aren't optimized, like I don't update my drivers, Halo will crash.
This is some technical shit. I'm cutting you off.
We're not getting into fucking hardware. You talk about drivers.
We're not talking about hardware and drivers. Oh my God. This is not what that show is about. You're tying that into the future price of Bored Ape Yacht Club land. Ugh. Like this is insane. Just remember, there's only one piece of alpha that matters right here. That is literally that we are tilling the land using Nifty Nick tractors. That's what this show is brought to you by, Nifty Nick tractors. We create the best tractors around in the metaverse. If you're looking to till that other deed, other side land, whatever the hell it's called, you don't even have the land. You got the deed to that land. But you're going to need a tractor for that land. So remember, when you're looking for it, Nifty Nick tractors, we're always here to help. Cryptic. I wanted to find out from you. You have a very elite dead fella there.
Elite. And,
among one of the elitist of the elite. And so we just want to know how you feeling. What's going on in your world?
Cryptic. Oh, Cryptic, don't do us like that. Come on.
You just can't. Okay.
Oh, my God.
There's a mute button. Okay. You're going to want to unmute.
Unmute. All right, Cryptic. Anyway, back
from my fellow dead fella.
That was
they dead
cryptic.
Exactly. I was going to say the name is appropriate. This is kind of freaking me out. Looking at the PFP and the name Cryptic, it's kind of freaking me out. Go ahead, Mo Money. What's going on in Dead Fella Town?
Yeah, it's getting kind of shaky over here, but for me, I'm fine with it. Like when I bought it, I was preparing myself, you know, to see. One ETH, under one ETH. So, like, the team, I know everybody talks about betting the team and yada, yada, but I'm fine with it. Like, I really like what she's doing, everything she's trying to build, her vision. She's constantly, like, you know, in the Discord. And she talked about she's going to dox herself at VCon, so that should be pretty cool.
Shit. That's pretty cool.
So, I have no problems. I mean, obviously, you don't like being down on your bags, but this is one I'm not planning to sell anytime soon. I'm cool.
Nice. So I just let and by the way, yeah, okay. I just let master.eth.
So you're like, cool. Okay. So anyways,
I didn't mean to come off that. Like that. Damn, that was so that's hey, that's on me, ladies and gentlemen. I just had a Nick-like move. Mo Money. My bad, man. That's not I usually don't do that. That's my bad. Yeah. But we're gonna move on anyway. I'm just
that's
putting
big
it
news.
Me.
Yo, you should have had your horn go off there for that one.
I was a bad
dead felt Betty gonna dox herself at VCon. Let's fucking go.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that is a big deal. I'm also watching the audience crumble as they're like, the host didn't give a shit about that, so why am I gonna listen? My bad, ladies and gentlemen. I am not normally like that. And shout out to Mo Money for not, you know, punching me in the face.
Wow,
for that
now you're
one.
Just net, this is a let's oh, get a longer
now.
Apology. Can't
oh
we?
My
can
God.
We get a longer apology?
I'm burying myself right now. I'm literally just digging my own grave. This is I'm done. I'm no longer in this business. So master.eth with the badass ENS domain. I think I just got distracted by how good your ENS domain is. And your profile is really interesting. You're the founder of Tulip DAO. That's hilarious. Considering we're in tulip mania right now and NFTs are dead. Then also you wrote .eth will replace .com. You also wrote ETH is money. I definitely disagree with you there. But what do you think about .eth replacing .com? You know, I bought my first name or someone gave me actually my first name .eth. I bought my last name .eth. And I see the vision of ENS being bigger than just us sending, you know, internet tokens to each other. I see it being a very big platform that ends up permeating our lives in more ways than we're thinking right now, just like the internet. What are your thoughts on that, man? Spill the beans, Master.eth.
Hey, good morning, good evening, everyone. Thanks much. I think every time I join a space, when I see the host name is .eth, you know, I'm very happy and I'm very interested to listen in the whole time of this thread. So I think, you just brought a very good point, because I want to second the point that Jonah just mentioned something. You know, he mentioned something about the game. He mentioned something about all the, you know, end users. The game users gonna have a subdomain of that game, so that it's a big, you know, ecosystem inside. Perfect. So, you know, at the .com age, you know, .com belongs to all the Web2 domainer and those internet companies. But we all know that we have thousands of suffixes of .com, traditional TLDs, .com, .net, .org. But they are basically doing the same thing, which is IP address association. They are not doing anything differently. But .com may be the earlier phase. It carries a greater value than the other suffixes. But .ethness, you know, its vision is totally different than the traditional, you know, Web2 domainers. Because ENS, crypto domain, it does hash association. That hash can be your wallet address, like your BTC address, ETH address, Solana address. Yeah, right now, ENS already supports like more than 200, you know, of the different chains or technologies that you can associate your .eth names on. And .eth can also be your, you know, IPFS hash content, which is about the D-Web. We all say Web3, but, you know, currently majority of the Web3 projects, unfortunately, are still under the traditional TLDs like .com, .io, .xyz, right? But the true Web3, it should be a distributed D-Web, that we should put the web content on somewhere, IPFS or some decentralized file system. And it should have no database, because once it has database, then it has database administrator. Then there's some, you know, trust issue, because the, you know, the project owner can change the data and then maybe the ranking make it a little bit differently. As long as the web content is decentralized and the database is smart contract and the domain is something like the decentralized domain like ENS, then this is something purely decentralized, you know, on the Web3 project.
So would you say in that world that Nifty Nick tractors are like a very bullish business, and can I count you as a future investor?
Yeah. I think that's a very good point. So I mean, right now we are still at
so that's a yes. So that sounds like a real definitive yes. Look, I appreciate having you as a strong supporter of my tractor business, and looking forward to having you as an investor. Would you say 5 ETH or 10 ETH I can count you in as?
How much, Master.eth?
No, it's not going to be sold. It's my name. It's my ID.
No,
I'm not asking for your name.
I'm tractor business.
Give up this guy on the team.
We want this GigaBrain on the team for sure, but I need to know what the investment is
because
in Nick's tractor
I'm building
business.
D-Web tractors. Okay, if I switch the name to that, are you down? Can we get 10 ETH here?
Yeah.
There we go.
We got the investment.
That's how we close
the
deal on this show.
That's how we
close a deal.
Business development people out there, you just saw it, you know, IRL. You just saw it right there live on stage. That was the deal. Hey, Master.eth, thank you for coming on the show. You're clearly a giga brain. I was having trouble following everything that you're saying because it was just so technical. But we do appreciate some technical chat every once in a while. We got Rusty with his hand raised. What's going on, Rusty?
So I wanted to ask my second question. I was expecting just to get like a morning cup full of alpha on this from DGens, and we got like some PhD level technical talk here, which I love it. I love it. So
I don't want to go deep into technical tops since we only have like 7 minutes, but okay. Yeah.
My simple question is, because I'm trying to figure out, do you stack, you know, floor, other side deeds, or go for the more rare resources?
Okay.
I'm just curious, like, do you think one other side deed will equal like one vote? Like in the other side, like, do you think it'll be, you know, I'm thinking ApeCoin will not be voting for the other side. So I'm just curious, like these decisions and all this like codex and all that stuff that I don't really understand. Just to simplify it, do we think one deed equals one vote? That's kind of what I'm thinking, but just curious on thoughts there.
I mean, I don't know. Jonah, do you have a thought on this? I don't know about the voting structure. Quite frankly, I just don't know how sustainable that whole thing is with the DAO voting and stuff. It's kind of weird to me because, like, I don't want to, as like a holder, I don't want to vote to influence a decision. And Nick, you should mute your mic if you're like walking around.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't want to vote to influence. I switched the mics, but now I think we're in a good place now. Correct?
Okay. Yeah, fantastic. All I was going to say is, like, when I hear from projects and they say we're going to have the DAO vote on it, so definitely vote on what direction that we're going to go in, my thought is always, like, aren't you the CEO or aren't you, like, the founder of the project? I don't want to vote. That's, like, your decision to make. Like, I bought the project because I thought that you were potentially a good founder or a good CEO. You make the decision. Like, Elon Musk isn't like, hey, everybody vote on whether we make the battery this side or this size or that size for the Tesla, you know, technology. Like, he makes the decision. That's the thing. So, like, I don't know. I'm not big on the voting shit. I feel like it's a kind of a little bit of a sham, quite frankly, because I think people thought it was a cool idea and it made people that hold NFTs feel like they had more ownership than they actually have because they can arbitrarily vote on something. I don't know. It's not really my bag.
Yeah, screw democracy, you know? Who cares about all that?
Freedom. Well, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic.
I think it's, like, nice to have influence, but, yeah, at the same time, most DAOs only have, like, 10% voting. So it's, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm torn. I agree with you. Like, yeah, the founders are kicking ass, but at the same time, you know, voting gets messy. And since there's only, like, 5 minutes left, I won't give my deep dive into Pixel Vault, but definitely one of the you mentioned, like, Pixel Vault early on. Pixel Vault and Apes are my top two projects. Love them both. You know, kind of going towards different avenues there, but I do think they're connected. They both have, you know, Gaio Siri advising.
How many projects is this? Does it Gaio Siri advising?
God bless him. I hope he never, you know, like, I don't wish anyone, but if he ever, like, ended up in the hospital, like, this market's fucked.
No, I feel like all it means if Gaio Siri is advising is that they get one phone call a month with him. That's all that it probably means. So it's 30 minutes for World of Women, 30 minutes for Pixel Vault, 30 minutes for 10KTF. Like, that's what it has to be. He advises like 5 out of 10 notable projects.
Yeah, but Bored Ape Yacht Club gets an hour, so I don't know if you know that.
He technically advises Yuga too.
Oh yeah, he absolutely does. Yeah.
Oh my god, yeah. That's a joke.
But they've done like Bored Ape Yacht. Pixel Vault's done like a Bored Ape Yacht Club comic, and they're doing Punks comics, which Yuga owns Punks. So I think it's like different avenues, but they're both like my two favorite projects. They just released some more info and kind of a roadmap. You know, I guess the obelisk, as much of a roadmap as the obelisk is. So they released a new webpage, pixelvault.com. But yeah, love that project too, but obviously not enough time, so I'll not go on my soapbox.
I mean, I'm game to close on Pixel Vault. Nick has his hand raised. What's going on, Nick? Nick?
I just thought it would be useful for everybody to just take a deep breath. I just thought it would be helpful for you to breathe in some of that dictatorial CEO type air and let out that democratic community led bullshit. You're going to want to breathe in good vibes that the Burbs NFTs provide you and let out all that negativity that happened when your UST stablecoin ended up not being worth what the only price that a stable coin is supposed to be worth, which is $1. Or that Luna you were holding, it's worthless. It's like worse than Venezuelan currency. They've suffered inflation, but not as bad as Luna did, and that's because we went to the other side of the moon, brought to you by Bored Ape Yacht Club. So breathe in that good air, fresh air, and just let out all that baggage that you've been seeing, all that blood, death, and destruction and despair. Last night on YouTube, we saw a family get run over by a train of the markets, and if you weren't there for that, apologies to that family. They were caught holding the bag on that UST. But in all honesty,
nice, Nick. Okay. Sorry, thank you for the meditation. I think that's the first time you ever broke.
I apologize. The UST just threw me off because it's actually like pretty, like there's actual people who suffered from that. So it's not really funny. So I just want to say shout out to them. And
shout out if you got totally wrecked on a stable coin.
Shout out if you lost millions of dollars buying into that Ponzi scheme.
Well, thank you for the meditation, Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while we're led through a meditation by our meditation leader, Nifty Nick. He's got decades of experience with meditating. He's at peace. He's very centered. This is the NFT Morning Show. This happens Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Look, it's a bear market. We're not going anywhere.